Yeah, we pray that we would grow more and more into your godly order, that the wives would learn to submit to the husbands, and that the husbands would fully be under the headship of Christ. Thank you for this perfect godly order that you have created. Thank you, Lord, that you have made everything so wonderfully. Yeah, pray that you would heal us. Yeah, gain many strong families for you and your kingdom, that we would conquer the enemy together, that we would resist him together with all his attacks, all his power. Strengthen all marriages, and that we would live your kingdom, that in the house the light would shine, that our kids would learn and also see the ways of God. We pray for all those who are in our houses and pray that the fight, the battle for your kingdom would be fought more, that there would be no more fights within the family, but that we together would fight for the kingdom. I want to confirm this, how important the prayer is, especially in the marriage life. It's such an opportunity to pray together, because it's not just about our families and about our lives, but it's about the kingdom of God. The Lord set up the family so that the kingdom of God should spread. That's why the kids are there, so that we bring them to the Lord, so that the kingdom can also be spread out and grow. This is a burden for me because this is so decisive, so crucial. So that we can be equipped and capable of fighting this fight. But if I'm not at peace with my wife, and if I live in myself at home, then I have no strength when I meet with other saints to pray, to have fellowship with them. It won't work because the testimony is missing and is not erected in the smaller unit, like in the family at home. That doesn't go together. I have the right words, but I don't have the reality. But on the other side, it's always also so glorious when a couple prays together in oneness. It's a powerful testimony against the enemy. Recently, I've experienced how this prayer, the prayer with my wife is the prayer that the Lord hears the most, even more than what we pray in our brothers' meeting or in the church meetings. In this short time that I pray with my wife, these are the prayers the Lord has answered the most. And the Lord has shown me how important it is. This is a wonderful expression when this reality is there. And because we're talking about the kingdom, this prayer is for the spreading out of the kingdom. David was also a man of war. He fought against many nations. He also conquered Jerusalem. It was such a decisive, crucial city for the Lord, for the kingdom, for the worship. David fought against Moab, against the Philistines. He really conquered all his enemies. And at his time, the kingdom became one, was unified and became strong. But at the time of his son, the kingdom was separated, divided, and it really suffered a lot of damage. And after this really terrible division, there wasn't battle against the enemies of God, but there was fighting among the brothers. David fought against God's enemy and subdued them. And it was a wonderful time in which the kingdom of God was enlarged and grew. And Solomon, he his kingship began in a wonderful way because of what David had done. But after that, shortly thereafter, there was war, that a brother would fight against a brother. This was such a loss for the kingdom of God. Well, this was a turn for the worse in such a short amount of time. So here we see also the son of Rehoboam, Abia only ruled for a very short amount of time. And Jeroboam started to fight against him. And in this battle, ...500,000 of the children of Israel were slaughtered during this battle. The kingdom of God begins in us and is, but it also has to be expressed through my relationship to the wife, to my kids, and also an expression in coming together with other families. This gave me a fear not to fight within the family, because this is such a loss for God and His kingdom. This, then you just lose so much strength in fighting against one another, and you want to conquer one another. We know this ourselves, and this is really ugly. But praise the Lord for every family that the Lord can gain by standing together in prayer. And I want to really emphasize this matter of fighting. This time is very embattled. We want to put this pillar into the ground to pray in the family is always difficult. It's hard to bring my daughter to bed. We're so tired from the day. We're burdened, even from things from the festal gathering, from burdens in the church life. It's such a battle. And it's often so easy and so close to for us to say we're just going to give up and not do it. But it's good for us to exercise this faithfulness to the Lord before we do anything else. When our daughter is in bed, let's take the time for the Lord to pray together. And this is a practical way that the kingdom would be expressed in our family and in every place where we live, so that our neighbors and the people near us would be able to see Christ expressed. Was David perfect? Was Abraham perfect? Did they always do everything perfectly and right in their daily life? But in the New Covenant, we read that he was a man after God's heart. He was a man of faith. In the New Testament, we don't read about the one who committed adultery, about the one who didn't believe, or like with Abraham, who wanted to conceive with his maidservant. Sometimes we see our own sins, our own mistakes. But he says he throws our sins into the deepest sea. And some people say fishing is prohibited. Our flesh often tries to fish out the mistakes and sins of the past. For often our mouth says we forgive, but our heart still holds on to it. Then we look for another opportunity to bring it up again. I don't close the door completely. I say I forgive you, but by the next opportunity, I use it and bring it up and put it on the table again. How often and how much has the Lord forgiven us? If the Lord is our head, then we can also lay hold of this forgiveness. We have to stand completely on this, because only then can we forgive one another and our partners. This is so fundamental. If we cannot forgive, then what is our relationship built upon? It's like a city, or with a city wall with so many holes and so many cracks. We know the enemy is a serpent, and with the smallest crack he can come in. So we have to wrestle for this, to be able to forgive one another. It's so important for our marriages and for our families. Yonatan encouraged me very much through the words that we have heard this morning. I've been in the church life for over 20 years. But I think there are other saints who have been in the church life even longer. But in all these decades, we haven't heard a clear word about the marriage life. And I told my wife, too. I have such a burden for this, a heavy burden in my heart. But I never had the boldness to speak about this. And I think when I read about the sisters, maybe they'll be offended if I tell them what the word says. Or they'll say, oh, this is just a fanatical Christian. But the truth is the truth. Here in the Western world, you even have women who are pastors. They're at the peak. And our brother said, I don't feel well here. I feel out of place. Because the husbands just sit there and the wives are ruling. Here in the Western world, it's a very different culture. But saints, through the cross, we have to destroy this cultural tradition that we have, or the way that our culture is. There's no culture in the Bible. If the wife really submits, then the husbands will love their wives. Do you love your wife, my brother? If I asked all the brothers here, he would say, yes, I love my wife. But it's so hard for the sisters to submit to their husbands. Sarah called her husband my Lord. 1 Peter 3 was read. See, she respected her husband. She obeyed the word. This is a godly principle. It's an unchangeable principle according to the word of God. I ask you, saints, from my especially the sisters, from my heart, be submissive to your husbands. Just one sister said amen. I don't know if the others didn't mean to say amen or don't say amen. Okay, one more sister said amen. And I believe from my whole heart that the kingdom of God begins in the family. And when the families don't function, when we come together, it also won't work. And I'm so sorry to see that we have, as Christians, have so many facades, so many masks. The unbelievers, when they're angry, they're angry. When they're wrath, full of wrath, they're full of wrath. But we, when we come, oh, we're like lambs when we come to the meetings. But at home, we put the other mask on. Oh, we take one mask off and we put the other one on. At work, we put a mask on. We have to be honest before the Lord. Like Nathaniel. He had a true, pure heart for the truth. And he loved the word. John 14:21 and 23. John 14:21-23. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Someone said, I want to be loved. Daniel was very loved by the Lord. He was very much loved by the Lord. Why? Because he kept the commandments of the living God. He obeyed. Last night, our brother John said, as in James, let us not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Doers of the word. If we keep his commandments, if we keep the words that are spirit and life, the Lord will reveal himself to us. Some people say, we need no more new revelation. Someone has told this to me directly, to my face. We just need the saints. But Paul, he had a revelation on his way to Damascus. But from this one revelation came innumerable revelations after. He said, yeah, if you do not keep my commandments, I will not reveal myself to you. Let us not forget the family is very, very precious. That's where the kingdom of God begins. If there's no relationship, no fellowship, no love, no peace, no joy between the husband and wife, where will this be in the church? And if we really want to grow in a healthy way, or if we grow in a healthy way in the family life, then when we come together, it will also be glorious. May the Lord give us much grace that we would not forget this word in the times of temptation and trial, that we wouldn't forget, but we would hold fast to this word because the word says, I want to be submissive to my husband. Of course, the husbands are not perfect and make mistakes. But if you obey the word, or you obey the word because that's how it's written. So may the Lord open our eyes. May the Lord give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know him fully and to really know what the kingdom means. In 1 Corinthians 4, in one of the last verses, it says, in verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And not in the power of a person or of a man, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.